Birth Association and IndieBirth.com. No material on this podcast should be considered medical advice. Birth is not a medical event.
Welcome to IndieBirth's series of podcasts, Taking Back Birth. So, here I am, 40 weeks plus in this pregnancy. You've been listening very loyally from, 4 weeks pregnant, 5 or 6, something really early when I began this podcast series. So how exciting for me and for you if you're also moving along in your pregnancy. Thanks for accompanying me on this journey. I hope there will be many more podcasts about postpartum and continuing subjects of the prenatal period. But this may be, depending on what my baby decides, the last podcast that I do pregnant. So thank you for walking with me on this journey. So at 40 plus weeks here, I am technically past the date on the calendar that I alone set, of course. No one else told me what to do or how to do it. But I thought this was a great opportunity, actually. So I'm thanking my baby here today for putting me in this situation so that I can better understand people that go past their dates by weeks or months, which I'm certainly not at, just a couple days. But it's all relative, I think, this idea we get in our heads about when a baby's going to come. And so I thought this was appropriate podcast material, and I think this will be one of the most popular ones because so many women, normal, healthy women, do go past the date on the calendar and they're looking for support and advice. So that's today, past the due date. It's a subject I think is fraught with much emotion. Fear is definitely one. For lots of people, care providers in particular. Drama, just kind of a dramatic thing for many women to go past this magical date. Lots of talk about inductions, lots of worry. But then there's also excitement. I know I'm excited because literally every minute and every hour, I'm closer to meeting this baby. You know it's near. It's a lot closer than it was days or weeks ago, obviously. So again, I don't think there's tons of support these days for those of us that go past this date. Again, because most women are still choosing medical care, whether it's medical midwifery care or medical care from a doctor, it's still medical care. And inductions just happen all over the place. And we'll talk more about that, but that doesn't necessarily mean a pharmaceutical hospital induction. Lots of midwives inducing at home, lots of women inducing themselves, just because this is such an uncomfortable subject for some. So I was laughing before when I was getting ready to do this podcast. I have this really cute baby calendar, like a fetal calendar, I guess you could say. You can see the actual size of the baby, and each week, you know, you turn the page and you've got the size of the baby. It's really cute for kids, and it's just fun to, you know, turn the page every week and see what your baby's up to. But lo and behold, the calendar does end at 40 weeks. There's nothing to turn to after 40 weeks. So I thought that was an interesting and sort of humorous symbol of where we're at with all that, that magically 40 weeks is it. Even though that's just an average, that's what we got. Not a lot of information or support for after that. So calendar kind of confirmed that for me. So a little bit personally, this is my 8th pregnancy, 7th baby. And I was born myself premature, 34 weeks, which is quite premature, especially 37 years ago. So honestly, I've always had this thing about not wanting an early baby. I think I remember how hard it was to be in the NICU by myself for a month plus. And then my first baby was early, actually. Not as early as I was, but a couple weeks. So with the rest of my kids, and there's five other ones, so six total right now, I've always wanted to go past the due date. It was just this thing that I really wanted to experience. Having an early baby is not the funnest thing. I'm sure many of you will agree. I mean, prematurity in general is sort of disastrous. And even if a baby isn't technically premature, a week or two can make a huge difference for a baby in how the baby reacts to being on the outside, how well the baby nurses. So my personal experience has been that having even a slightly early baby has been harder. And I always wanted to go past the date to kind of feel like I was being really healthy, or, you know, my baby really was enjoying his or her time in there. I was always kind of envious of women, you know, that have gone past or go past their due date, because to me, I think that's a great sign of health for mommy and baby. And that babies do generally stay in when conditions are optimum. So that's my personal story. And here I sit, a couple days past my due date. No huge deal, just a couple days. The last baby, number six, was 2 days past. So I've experienced it slightly, but this one is feeling like it'll definitely be my latest. And so far, so good. So it's a triumph for me having been, you know, sitting here past my due date, but I'm no exception to, you know, what we all know and are exposed to in our culture. And I feel like today, especially, this was a great podcast for me to do because I wanted to share my experience with you and my thoughts, but also it's to encourage myself. And that's completely honest. You know, talking myself down in those just flashes where I think, oh, geez, you know, is this baby coming out? Even though I know that's ridiculous. But I thought this would help me renew my faith and beliefs in this part of the process. And this part of the process is just the waiting period, obviously. That's not labor. And I don't know any better than anybody else when this baby's going to come. So I appreciate you listening as I talk to myself today, too. So even when we think we won't get sucked into a date on the calendar, it happens. I promise you. To most women, not all. Some women are just easier about it, I suppose. They may not have a cycle back. They may not even get a period. So, you know, if you're not seeking out ultrasounds or care even, and I certainly haven't, then there are situations in which you really cannot know. I mean, you just have a vague sense of like, okay, January or okay, February. But I think that's the odd woman, really, that can go about it that way. I kind of always wished I could, but the truth is I know my body so well that I couldn't miss if I was ovulating. So I would have to try and erase that from my head. But anyway, my point is, women at the beginning of their pregnancies, no matter how laid back they are, most of them agree with the fact that a due date is really stupid, as in one particular day. You know, other countries talk about due months or just a due time. And obviously that makes a lot more sense because, again, the 40 weeks is just an average. So having a due month would give you a couple weeks and not be focused on a day. But again, sit with a woman in early pregnancy who either hasn't been through it before, or maybe she has even, and she'll tell you, oh, I know it's just a date. I'm not fixated on that, and I'm not going to tell people that. And sometimes that's true. But most women still have this idea in their heads that there is a certain day. And even though they know rationally that that doesn't make sense, that the baby, you know, isn't going to come on that day, it's something that they focus on. So whether it's how many weeks pregnant they are, which is reasonable, right? I mean, I've talked about that the whole time, being 35 weeks or 36 weeks. I mean, how do you figure that date? You're figuring it based on something. You're figuring it based on a particular day. So I know these things too. And Again, that's why I'm talking about them today. I know that it's not a magical day any more than a week before or a week after would be. And I know that each baby and pregnancy are different. And there is no way for me to know for myself or for me to know for you why one baby would need more time or one baby would need less time. Or, you know, our bodies would need more or less time. It's not just the baby. So I know how that goes. But then I know there are women that literally count down the days in their pregnancy. And again, it's focused on one specific date. So, you know, you'll hear them say, I have 17 days left in this pregnancy. And that worries me because I wonder what the thought process is, if it's just habit, again, like most of us, you know, habit to have a due date, or if they really believe that something's going to happen. Because even if you only half believe that something's going to happen, and I'll admit, I've been one of those people, because I've had babies on my due date, so I probably have some good reason to think the due date is a reliable thing somewhere in my brain. But even if I thought that, you know, it wouldn't mean that it was going to happen, but it would change how I felt after. And I think that's what's going on with many of us, is that we say, oh yeah, it's no big deal. We know it's just a date. But then when we pass it, something does happen in our brains mostly, where we need to refocus and deal with some stuff, even if it's just for a couple days. It's shocking, I think, to some of us on some level. Again, having had babies on my due date, I'm a little shocked to be sitting here a couple days after. Not because I don't think it's possible and haven't sat with many women at 42 plus weeks, but just for me and my body, this is something new. So it's all relative, you know. If you're used to birthing at 37 weeks and you go to 39, those 2 weeks feel like a long time and you'll have lots of questions and things come up just out of body memory. You know, our minds certainly play a part, but then our bodies, I think, do remember. So again, relative. We're not all 42 weekers, but we may each encounter different issues and scenarios around waiting past this magical day. And not to mention the stress from other people. I think having walked with many other women through this post-date scenario, that certainly it's the things that go on in their head when they wake up each morning and they're still pregnant, but it's also the negative contribution, frankly, of the family and the friends, perhaps, or the community. It's just something that I think we deal with when we're walking our own path and taking responsibility for our birth. And people are going to get concerned if they live in fear and they believe birth is, you know, scary and medical. So I think my advice about that just is usually the same. You know, again, set a due month. Don't set a specific day or even a specific week to tell people that you know aren't going to support you if and when you go past that. Because in all probability, you will. And of course, when you're out and about in the community or wherever, you can make up whatever you want. You can be past your dates. And when people ask, you know, you just kind of say something vague, like the baby will come when the baby's ready, or the baby will come on her birthday, or, you know, something like that. So you're not constantly reinforcing to everybody else that, you know, you're past this mystical, magical date, especially when they don't support that or they don't understand that, which truly is most people. And again, we have, you know, medicalized birth, home and hospital to thank for that. People think that, you know, it is a magical thing and they don't understand waiting and they don't understand why that would be okay and a million other things. So hard to get rid of those people though. I mean, especially if they're family, they're calling every day or texting every day or whatever. We'll talk about some suggestions maybe for dealing with that, because that's hard. It can be harder than just, you know, being trapped in your own house, you know, feeling like you're not going into labor, dealing with other people. It's hard. So the obvious thing is, like many of these subjects we discuss here, we must rethink the way we deal with this. We must reframe this whole idea of dates and the way we think of labor. So yes, we're reframing the idea of a date, again, due month, due time, whatever you want to say, but really understanding what that means. You know, really sort of getting in touch with the differences in the way we all gestate babies and birth babies. And if we believe that, you know, birth is miraculous and yet also unique from woman to woman, then we must also respect the entire process. You know, why would we all grow a baby at exactly the same rate? We don't all have the same babies. We don't all have the same bodies. So, you know, having opportunities in our pregnancies to feel that. And where does that come from? I think that comes from being with other women when they're pregnant, you know, our friends and family, when we're at different gestations, just seeing the differences in people. And we all know, you know, that even from the outside, that's true. Bellies look different. People look different. Just gaining an appreciation for the variation in the process, I think, allows us to come down to the end here and say, well, of course, you know, why would all 10 women do on the same day, birth on the same day? That's insane. That's insane for a million reasons, even just statistically unlikely. So I think we also need to reframe the way we think of labor and the labor process. And I know this helps me a lot. And of course, you know, I've seen lots of labors and heard lots of stories, but I could tell you that even with my 6 labors, they've all been different. You know, some are more closely related than others, but in general, they've all been different experiences. They've started differently and they've progressed differently. So what, excuse me, what is labor? You know, what is the labor process? Well, I think that's the answer. It's a process. It's not an event. And that alone, again, I remind myself of daily, that I'm not waiting for the clock to strike 12 to go into labor. The process has already begun, unbeknownst to me even, in my own body that I know pretty well. There's lots I don't know about what's going on or, you know, what's happening when or what the baby's contributing or what my body's exactly up to. I really don't know. I trust, though, that it's happening. And I trust that for some women, it takes months before the actual labor event. The process is a long one. And for some women, it's not as long. And some women will have what we call, you know, prodromal labor. Kind of hate that term, but basically, you know, lots of good sensations happening that do prepare. They are not a waste of time. The term false labor is even worse. Of course, it's not false. There's nothing false about your body preparing. But again, what timeline does your body do this process on? I couldn't tell you. It really could be weeks before. So again, I think that's a really key point. Let's not underestimate that our bodies are working. Our bodies don't stop working when we're pregnant. I mean, just because we can't see, right, the fingers forming or the brain forming or the baby literally growing or gaining weight doesn't mean it's not happening. We trust that in normal, healthy pregnancies, things happen perfectly, and very rarely do they not. So this labor process is no exception. We don't have to know intellectually what's going on, but we trust that there are things going on. And I know for me, my first couple pregnancies, I had a lot more going on as far as practice contractions weeks or months before the birth. But now, here I am with the 7th, and either I'm not feeling it or my body's taken a different way of, you know, going about this process, which is sort of unsettling on some days, I'll be honest, because, you know, I expect to sort of be feeling more. But really, that's not what I'm experiencing right now. But I know enough to know that my body is preparing. I've been through this enough times. I know my body knows what to do. And so the timing is just a mystery. So again, let's not focus on, you know, that very first labor contraction that's going to bring a baby. That's not what it's about. It's about nourishing and loving our bodies through a pregnancy so that this process can begin when it needs to begin. And if it's months or weeks before, then, you know, we trust that. And if it's a day before, we trust that. No two women will do it the same way. I really don't think so. And even the same woman won't do it the same way in two pregnancies or two labors. As mentioned in a previous podcast, when we were talking about preparing for labor, we don't even know what sparks the labor process. So really, how arrogant of us to assume that, you know, we know what's going on, or for me to say, you know, nothing doesn't feel like anything's going on. Well, obviously there are things beneath the surface that can't be quantified, can't be measured. Some are baby, some are us, and we just don't know. So truly, you know, for me, focusing back on that sort of mystical element of pregnancy and labor is helpful, because I do have the trust to know that things happen in their own time. And I just have to trust that my body knows. So a side note here, sort of a technical side note, is, you know, a lot of women that go past their due dates may not even have accurate dates. And that's sort of not the point of this podcast. I mean, this is more about trusting what is. But, you know, if you're under midwife care or doctor care, or even if you're just curious, you might go back and look at your calendar and see if your dates that you came up with are even correct, because often, you know, they'll be a little off. In a couple days is a couple days. So, you know, even if you've had an ultrasound, believe it or not, being sarcastic here, the dates are not exact. So people that have had ultrasounds, I think, sometimes think, you know, that's the date. That one's carved in stone. No, nobody knows. Ultrasound does not know. We do not really know. The moment conception happens, it can vary by several days, depending on when the egg was released, how long the sperm lives. So again, yet another mystical part of the conception, pregnancy, and birth process that we think we know something, but really we don't. So, a little word about dates. Some suggestions, and again, I'm saying these as much for me as for anybody else that's sitting there past their date, either by a couple days or a couple weeks. And we'll see. We'll see how helpful these are. I've been trying to come up with the ones that have been, you know, working for me or seem to have worked for women I've worked with in the past. So the obvious is what we've already said. You know, have a date or don't have a date. You know, have a month, have an approximate period of time. And don't tell people, you know, if you think this is going to be you or if you just don't want to deal with it 9 months from now. Don't tell people, really. Just be vague. You know, they can accept vagueness, or just set your date ahead. I know plenty of women that reliably go to 42 weeks, and, you know, when they do their calculations, because they want to do that, then they obviously just tack on the 2 weeks from the very beginning and then just kind of forget about it. So there's lots of mental games you can play, I suppose, with the actual calendar, if you choose to. So have support. You know, this podcast, I hope, is supportive, but this kind of support, you know, people saying that this is normal and beneficial, and allowing your baby to come when the baby is ready is the best thing you could ever do for yourself or your baby. We all need to hear that. I need to hear it too. And this is when having an experienced midwife walk with you is nice. And, you know, I have plenty of midwife friends, so I rely on them. But truly, I don't have just one person either. So I understand, you know, being in that space where you just don't have that support from one person. I think that's one benefit of a midwife, or, you know, somebody that has been through it that can really talk you down, so to speak. So on the flip side, not to be too negative here, but know what you are getting into as far as all this post-date stuff goes when it comes to hiring somebody. So, you know, if I had a dollar for women that hired a midwife not knowing that their care would be transferred at 42 weeks and that they would be pressured to induce starting right after their due date, I would have a lot of money. because women think all midwives are holistic, and they think all midwives think babies will come when they're ready, and they forget that most midwives are under the obligation to the state, not them. And they wind up in these very sticky situations, which truly at 40, 41 weeks of pregnancy, you are not prepared for, you do not want to deal with. It is very unpleasant and uncomfortable to imagine your midwife terminating your care within days. What does that pressure do for you having a baby anyway? I think it sounds pretty disastrous. So here you are trying to relax yourself and get ready to open, and literally every minute that passes, you're closer to not having your care provider. So look into the rules and regulations concerning birth, especially home birth, upon hire. So, you know, the greatest midwife in the world is not independent of the rules and regulations she works under, if she works under them. So you need to find somebody that doesn't work under them if you don't want that. Or, you know, you need to have this discussion early and figure out what her protocol is. I hate to say that, but there's protocol. And again, the rules might say transfer of care at 42 weeks, but you've got a midwife who, you know, doesn't want to deal with that and starts soon after 40 weeks to get your baby out. I think that's even worse. Chances are you'll have the baby by 42, but it's all the stuff that goes on before. So you must find a care provider that respects this. If this is what you believe, that babies will come when babies are ready, you must find someone that respects that early on in the process. And if you don't, because you don't think to ask or you don't picture yourself in a situation where you are post-dates, you can fire a care provider that is pressuring you. And that's one of the things I think I hear all the time. And you know, usually they're more medical hospital situations, but it happens with midwives as well, that people are literally being forced into getting their babies out. And of course, you know, probably no one here wants to hear about a Pitocin induction. But what about all the women who are planning home births that are taking castor oil like it's no big deal, or herbs? This is just the same thing. It's getting the baby out before it's time. And that is very fearful. So not only is it dangerous physically and in other ways perhaps, but it's fearful. So you do not have to put up with someone pressuring you into getting a baby out that is not ready. And you don't have to take on their fear. Do not be pressured into induction. You do not have to keep working with care providers that do this. And you do not have to show up for an induction of any kind or do any kind of, you know, procedure on yourself. The risk of induction leading to other interventions is really high, even at home. So something as benign as castor oil can really mess with your labor and dehydrate you and, you know, have you bleed more after birth. So there is not any kind of natural or otherwise induction that you can do that is foolproof and without risks. That is the truth. So I think that is a huge part of this discussion. If we weren't, you know, politically in a place where this was some kind of crazy rule, you know, we may not even be having this discussion. I mean, back in the day, right, women just waited for their babies. What were they going to do about it? And they had each other for support. So definitely this conversation is political, and we need to recognize when our rights are being taken away or threatened, and we need to say, no, thank you. That is not what I'm going to do. Okay, so back on the more positive swing here. Check in with your baby and your body on a regular basis. That's something I think is a great recommendation every day that you're pregnant or every day you're not pregnant. You know, you check in with your body about all kinds of things. So particularly in the post-date period, though, I don't think it's a bad idea to just check in. How are you, baby? How you doing? Do you need anything? I'm ready when you are, you know, or I'm patient, whatever we need to do. Whatever you say to yourself and to your baby to just feel like, okay, I'm good. All that craziness about this is on the outside. It's not on the inside. recognize that your mind may not be as stable. So that's why I'm recommending checking in. Whatever that means for you, maybe it's meditation, maybe it's prayer, maybe it's some other way you have, but we have to find a way to leave our minds out of this sometimes, because I think there is an element of sort of unstable crazy, and I say that half joking, knowing that some women really do get unstable mentally when it comes to this issue. Every day they go past is really hard for them. And then, you know, some of us, it's not as serious, but I can feel it too, that, you know, I could let myself go off into an abyss at some point if this were to go on long enough. Because really, who hasn't had the thought that the baby is never coming out? Well, we all know that's ridiculous. And when we hear other women say it, we chuckle and we, you know, hug them and say, of course not. But it's not completely irrational to have that thought flash through your brain when you're sitting past the due date and perhaps you are unsupported and or threatened with, you know, having your care terminated. It's not crazy to feel alone and or like this is never going to happen. So know that there really isn't too much you can do to make it happen. And that gets back to the induction or natural induction, whatever. Just don't bother. That's my advice. Don't bother with the methods and the pills and the herbs and the this and the that. I think you'll wind up interfering a lot more with the process than you ever meant to. And then for me, it's, you know, knowing that there isn't too much I can do to make it happen on a sort of more positive note. So, you know, a lot of women, I think we all get into it. It's like, oh, the house isn't clean enough. And when the house is clean, the baby will come. Or I literally thought last night to myself, oh gosh, my baby, maybe she's not coming because I really don't have a name yet. That's ridiculous. I think that's ridiculous. I mean, sure, it's possible, but I think our minds start to come up with this strange checklist of things that we think we need to do. When in reality, if it was that easy, right, we'd all do what we had to do. We'd name our babies, we'd clean our house, and it would all just get done and the baby would come. But that's not what happens. So I guess I'm saying, you know, accept responsibility for what you can do, but let's not take on this immense responsibility in the sense of thinking that we are that in charge of life and fate. So that's my personal belief anyway. Another thing to mention is labor, that, you know, someone will say, oh, my labor's not starting. Well, first of all, what are we saying to our bodies? And I've caught myself doing the same thing. Why am I wording it like that? Because I just said to you earlier that, you know, this is a process, not an event. We need to just change the way we talk to ourselves. My body's doing great work and the baby will come when the baby's ready. I mean, these are, you know, literally the mind chatter that we need to reverse. And, you know, instead of saying, oh gosh, another day where I'm not in labor, or how long am I going to have to wait for this baby? We all do it, but let's change that. You know, we have the power to turn it around and just have positive affirmations. We'll get more into that. Oh, but here's what I was going to say. A labor that hasn't begun, whatever that means, you know, doesn't have anything to do with the position of the baby. So I feel like I hear that a lot. And honestly, as a midwifery student, I was taught that. So a woman has a posterior baby, for example, and we were taught that that was why it took so long for her labor to start, or why she went post-dates, or, you know, why she would have so much more prodromal labor than somebody with a baby in a different position. And I've come to be taught and have learned from others that that is not true. So it's the same idea. You know, if I'm thinking, oh, my baby hasn't come yet because she doesn't have a name, there's someone else thinking, oh, my baby hasn't come yet because she's not in the perfect position. So let's stop trying to manipulate our babies in utero. Stop trying to rotate and turn them and this and that and this technique and this procedure. Babies will come when babies are ready. And labor, you know, whatever that means, will initiate when it's time, regardless of baby's position. Now, that doesn't mean that, you know, if you think your baby's in a posterior position, that when labor actually begins, like active labor, that you couldn't you know, do certain positions or whatever to encourage the baby to turn into what you think is a more favorable position. But again, the idea that a baby's position is delaying labor is not true. So there's nothing we can do or not do, really. And the puzzle is not complete yet. That's how I like to see it, that this labor process is a puzzle that, you know, needs to get all the pieces before it really gets off and running. And if it's not happening, it's because all the pieces aren't there. We just may not know what a lot of the pieces are, but they will fall into place. So other suggestions, for me, just writing about it. Heck, doing this podcast. So, you know, maybe your version is talking to a friend, just talking about it, laughing about it. How ridiculous is it really, right? That I would think I would be pregnant forever. Of course I won't, and neither will you. So just making light of it, or crying about it, you know, sitting and just saying, I just want to cry today about this and, you know, I'm done or I'm not done or whatever your emotions are. I think reading uplifting birth stories is good, although, you know, do be careful about what you read at this point and, you know, who you associate with. Just keep doing what you're doing. So for me, it's staying in the moment. If I think about yesterday or the fact that I could be pregnant tomorrow or 3 days from now, it's overwhelming and I feel less confident. So it's staying in the moment. Right now, everything's good. I'm anticipating my baby. I believe it will happen. I trust that it will happen. My baby's happy. I'm happy. We're both feeling good. There's no ahead. There's no behind. We're just right here, right now. And I'm going to keep eating and I'm going to keep moving and I'm just going to go about my normal day. Again, meditation, prayer for many people is a way of connecting and just, you know, staying sane. Projects, of course. I haven't been big on the projects, but baking, cooking, organizing, cleaning things out. Something like a flower essence might be helpful. I like the flower essences. So, you know, certain fears come up or just impatience. You know, impatience is actually a flower essence. I may try that later if I'm feeling less patient than I am right this moment. So there's lots of tools like that. Know that it can change in a moment and likely will. So, you know, everybody has their unique story. You don't know what yours is, nor do I. I know that having had more babies, I'm more likely to be surprised in a sense, you know, than a more predictable first-time labor. My sister, who was fine with me sharing this with our listeners, just had her fourth baby about 6 months ago, and her labor came out of nowhere, and she's an intuitive person. So, you know, on one hand, you could say, well, maybe she just didn't feel it or whatever, but no, according to her, truly, she woke up, she was not in labor, she started to get her kids ready for wherever they were going, packing lunch, this and that, and literally an hour and a half later had a baby. So, it does change. It will change. There is going to be that moment in time where the process has, you know, not only begun, but is truly on its way and your baby is coming. And I find that just amazing and miraculous and a testament to the fact that we know nothing really about birth. You know, we just know that it will happen and it does happen. And most of the time it's just perfect. So every day you're a bit closer and it will happen. I say that to myself, you know, every moment. It will happen. That is what is going to happen. So do not enter into fear as best you can. Easier said than done. But again, stay away from people that don't get it. Stay out of the public eye if that bothers you and people have too many questions. I know here it's a really small town, so I have to just decide on a given day if it's worth going out and having to field everybody's question. You know, they think they're so original, saying, oh, you haven't had that baby yet. Well, obviously not. You know, just protect yourself. I think we're in a state of protection when we're pregnant anyway, but we have every right to go into almost hibernation mode if that's what we feel like at this point. So relax, release anxiety, and just stay focused. You know, I think in a positive way. Stay focused on the things you love and enjoy, your family, and spending these last couple moments with the kids that you do have, or, you know, if you don't have kids yet, just with your partner. There's so many things right in front of us that we can enjoy and love without going into fear. So for concrete information, research information on, you know, risks of post-dates and truly the lack of risks for post-dates, check out Gail Hart's research book, which I recommend almost every podcast, Research Updates for Midwives. And you don't have to be a midwife to read it, but she's just amazing and has actual numbers. So that wasn't something I felt like going into today, just personally. I'm not really afraid of going past the due date for any reason. So I didn't kind of want to entertain that negativity today for my own sake. But there are many people that are concerned about, you know, what does it mean when you go past the due date? And what if the baby's at risk? And what if the placenta fails? And blah, blah, blah. So Gail's book is a wonderful resource for you understanding that, so you can explain it to other people, especially well-meaning family members or even doctors that think there's a risk to being past the due date. It's just ridiculous. It's not supported by research. You'll see that. So check that out. And just ending with a couple affirmations here. And again, thanks for humoring me. They're probably more for me, but I share them with you. And I wish you blessings on whatever's next for you in this process, whether it's birth or another segment of your pregnancy or postpartum or whatever it is. It's been a real amazing thing having people listen to my journey and give feedback and be a part of it and have me be a part of so many people's journeys through these podcasts. So podcasts certainly won't end, but I am hoping that this is at least one of the last ones I do pregnant. So thanks again. And here's some positive affirmations for this time of being past this silly date on the calendar. First, realize that this can all be positive, and that's the point of an affirmation, that we are testing our faith and belief in birth a lot of the time, and this is one of those times. My baby and body pick just the right time. My baby and my body know divine timing. I trust my baby and my body. My baby is healthy and safe and will pick just the right time to be born. There is nothing I need to do, think, ingest to make my labor start. It will happen when it is time. So thanks again. Many blessings, and looking forward to sharing again with you soon.